And welcome to our show, Geeks Rewiring, where we talk about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And this week, we have Alex.
Hey, Rimshot, thanks for listening.
Joe.
Hello.
Jordan.
My parents allege that's my name.
And Anna's back.
Yes, I'm back. Hi.
Hi.
And Theodore.
Здравствуйте.
Oh, yeah, because everyone's... Aren't you liberated from your studies?
Yes, I'm done with this semester so far, yeah. And I'm glad.
The semester and?
And?
The semester and?
School all together.
What, really?
Yes. Oh. I'm good. I'm happy that I'm actually done with school.
Did you get to throw your cap in the air?
I don't get to do that until May.
Oh.
Yeah, they only do it once a year.
Delayed gratification.
Yeah, the same thing with me. I finished in December and I had to wait.
That's tough. That's tough. And who are we missing? There's someone that
no, I think there's anybody.
That's right.
Not anyone important, I think.
Nah.
He who will not be named.
I'll name him.
Yeah.
Bill.
Don't say his name.
Bill.
Great. Now Bill. All the protections in this place have been removed.
Exactly.
Oh, Alex even said it a third time. I'm really, you know.
I know.
You
guys, that's the hex.
No, the thing you want to avoid for real is to go into your bathroom at night when it's dark, look into the mirror, and say Bill's name five times. Five times.
Just Bill,
whoa.
Not even Bloody William. You just say Bill, Bill, Bill.
I thought it was Beetlejuice. I guess I'll take Bill.
I thought it turned into the Bill Nye the Science Guy opening if we say that enough times.
Yeah.
it just occurred to me that in Harry Potter, at the end, Voldemort curses his name. So if you say his name, it'll take down all your protections and they'll know right where you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
He should have just cursed the word the.
Yeah.
I know.
Then nobody'd have protections. And they'd be running around a little bit at first, but if they just started killing people who said it, people would stop saying it real quick.
It'd make things confusing. Well,
they just start speaking Russian. Russian has no articles.
Maybe just the letter E or the sound E.
The thing that would be interesting is, could he curse the multiple accents of his name? Like how you stress each syllable of his name? Or is it just...
So the Voldemort.
Yeah.
Voldemort.
A Russian pronouncing his name versus
Japanese. If you say it bad
Japanese.
Enough, it's, yeah. You're fine. That's
I know.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Voldemort?
I know.
That's what...
Voldemort.
It's... You can just be if you
See,
do your
I'm
little
safe. I didn't
cute pet
the
names with Voldy, Volbaby.
There's some wizard with a really bad lisp sitting in his basement just talking about him all day. It won't stop.
I know. Yeah.
I wonder the same thing when you're doing demonic incantations with your pronunciation just sucks. You just not get their attention.
Then the Necronomicon.
I know, you wouldn't get any Evil Dead movies.
Yeah. that's what happens when you get the Evil Dead, because he screwed up so bad.
What? Really?
Yeah, because he didn't say the words correctly. Therefore.
I don't remember. I need to watch that movie again.
Yeah.
Been watching the remake too often. I haven't gone back to the originals in a while.
I need to see that. We need to get Showtime just so we can.
Yeah.
It's Showtime, isn't it? That had Ash versus the Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
Oh, Stars.
Yeah, that's Stars.
Yeah,
I think
they
it's
did
still
it.
On Amazon Prime either way.
I watched the free one. They had one free episode on their website and it was amazing. And then I was just too cheap to watch.
Yeah.
If you like the first episode, then I think you'll like the series because that's pretty representative of the show itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, plus I'm just a big Army of Darkness nerd.
Yeah, then you'll love this.
Well, Evil Dead. I mean, I've seen them all. I've seen Army of Darkness the most, but I've seen both Evil Dead 1 and 2 many, many times as well. So
I liked Army of Darkness. That's where I was introduced. Then I went back and watched Evil Dead, and I was like, it's like a trying to be more serious version.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of meh.
Well, they just embraced the camp. And the thing that I love about it is that at the beginning of each movie, they recap what happened the last movie,
I know.
But they do it wrong. Every time.
Yeah, exactly.
This is what happened. Not really, but You don't need to know that if you didn't watch it.
So even like the end of Evil Dead 2, it's not even the same. They're like, anyways, he like shoots, doesn't he shoot down something, or he's like ambushed by everybody, and then they're like, how he actually got to the medieval world is totally different. It's not even consistent.
Well, yeah, and like they like just cut out characters and stuff. They're like, it was just him and his girlfriend in the cabin. The other friends, nope.
Yeah.
It's good enough for the purposes of the movie you're about to watch, even if it is
exactly
wrong. Even if it is very wrong.
Yeah, and then you watch the first one. Well, I do, because I like that that has the one scene that Sam Raimi regrets tremendously. He talks about it, says, I wish I never had it in it, and it's the violent, offensive tree.
Yeah.
Has no respect for
it's being
a
rapey.
Woman's person.
Oh, yeah, it's getting a little touchy, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's touch and go for a while.
I rewind that scene a couple times.
Wow.
Sorry, Anna.
It's okay. It's hard to watch, though, sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, poor Sam Raimi. It's like, what was I thinking?
Kind of like that movie Teeth.
Oh,
I haven't seen that.
Hard to watch.
Yeah, I watched that.
Have you seen that?
It's really very interesting.
It. We watched it a couple times.
Yeah, we did.
Wow.
Yeah. Ted, you know the old man in the Stephen King's like, you don't want to go there. They should have done that for Evil Dead. He's like, those trees are rapey.
Just stay over there.
Yeah.
Last time I was in those tree areas, I don't even like to think about it. My old body couldn't take more of that.
So that forest is cursed. Yeah.
The last lady who went in there gave birth to twin saplings.
Yeah.
That's right. That's how Groot originated.
Yeah. Yeah, where do baby Groots come from, Bill?
Actually,
from demon trees.
Ask Ash.
Yeah.
You just ruined Groot for me a little bit.
What?
The unknown tragic origin story of Groot.
I know, Alex. You think it's from that dead, burnt up twig that they found? No way.
Yes.
They picked it up out of the forest.
They tricked some lady to go into the woods.
Yeah.
It's like, go on, it's okay, it's safe. Yeah.
Alex, know how baby Groot was born too? Yeah. Like the alien way, just bursts out of your chest.
That's right, he's all covered in blood. It's like, Mama, where are you? And she's dead, because he's a chest burster.
Though we do have a podcast title now.
Exactly.
Where do baby Groots come from?
Yeah.
Yeah, answered that question.
I know.
All right, now we'll move on to the news.
Okay.
So, unfortunately, we're moving on to sad news. So we'll start off with the sad, and then we'll move back into happy. So Carrie Fisher was out promoting her book, The Princess Diarist, and she was on her way back from London to L.A. going home. 15 minutes before she landed, she had a heart attack. And luckily, though, there was a doctor and nurse on the plane, so they gave her CPR for 15 minutes, and then they got the ambulance there, and they gave her CPR, and right now she's in intensive care.
Yeah, so, that is sad. It's at least lucky that it was almost towards the landing, because I mean, they could have done an emergency one, but if she was stuck over the Atlantic, that would not have been good.
Yeah.
If you're going all the way from London.
There's a cautionary.
If they go over the Pacific.
Yeah, I know. They do the long way.
Over
Wouldn't they go over the North Pole that way? Isn't it shorter?
Oh, yeah, the curve of the Earth and stuff, and then they come back down through Canada. And hit, yeah.
Well,
yeah, that's true.
Logic.
I know. Well, best of wishes, though. We're hoping she gets okay and recovers.
Something said
made
that
force
she
me
was
with her.
Out of emergency. I don't know. But I don't know if they pulled her out of there, if she's still in there. The articles are conflicting.
Yeah, there's a lot going on right now. It's still fairly...
Well, somebody should dox the doctor and nurse that were doing CPR on her for 15 minutes so we can all give her gifts. Give them gifts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Send, like, thousands of nerds saying, yeah.
Thank you for
saving Leia. Exactly.
Yeah. That book, was that the one where her amorous tryst with Harrison Ford was revealed? This is a hot topic, I think.
How old is that? Because this is her fairly new book.
Yeah, I think that, like, I...
It's her tell-all.
Yeah,
it might be that. Yeah.
And so, Yeah, they had some heated moments.
Nice.
When she was saying, I love you, and he was saying, I know, it's because he actually did know.
Yeah. Are you sure it's not just because that was in the script?
Might have been that, too.
That wasn't even in the script.
It might have been ad-libbed, yeah.
Yeah, it was like, ad-libbed.
They're like, guys, come on.
At first they're like, I know. Yeah, that's an interesting trivia. And they're like, that's pretty awesome.
Well, it's
true, like, who says that? They're like, and then Harrison Ford said, I know.
He just does that in all of his movies. You know, yeah, Indiana Jones.
Who says that?
Harrison Ford.
Are you trying to refer to me?
No.
They need to do the modern, even less caring Harrison Ford where he's like, no, whatever.
But you know what this is? We only got about like a little over a week. This is 2016 trying to just take someone at the last second.
That's actually what...
They need to stop that.
Mark Hamill ended up saying...
Yeah, he's like, screw you 2016. He's like, I still have a week. How about I take a big one from you guys?
Hmm. He's like, please don't let 2016 end like
what
this.
What did we get? We lost us, what, the first man to orbit space.
Mm-hmm. And we lost Bowie. Yeah. And we lost Alan Rickman.
Was Robin Williams this year? Or was that last year?
No, he was a little bit before. I can't remember. But yeah.
Oh yeah. So yeah, Mark Hamill he tweeted as if 2016 couldn't get any worse, sending all of our love to Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, exactly.
So she should. Hopefully, she survives, and recovers, and everything works out.
She's pretty tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's reassuring if she's made it all the way to the hospital and she's like in her proper treatment. Hopefully that will make the difference.
Plus, it's guaranteed if anyone's gone through med school, there's a very good indicator they're a Star Wars nerd.
Yeah.
Didn't C-3PO, the guy who did the noises in the...
Oh, yeah, there was another guy. Yep, he passed away.
Yeah, Anthony Daniels.
Yeah.
And also, who's the guy who did R2-D2's...
No, so. R2-D2 passed away. Did C-3PO?
Well, we should verify.
Yeah, I know R2-D2
I feel bad that we're even going, like, did he die? I don't know.
I know the actor for R2-D2 did.
And then didn't... Oh, and Prince died, too.
Yeah, but, I mean, who cares?
Wow. Yeah. There you go.
I think I lost Casey Kasem this year, too.
Oh, yeah, and then the Anton Yelchin, he is gone. Florence Henderson of the Brady Bunch.
No, Anthony Daniels is still alive.
He's still alive.
Yes.
Hey, good job, Anthony Daniels. You keep on keeping on.
And Anna Googled Robin Williams was 2014, so.
Yeah.
It's still fresh in my heart.
Mm. I know.
It was hunting for the goodwill.
I'm going to cry a little right now.
Just Muhammad Ali. So.
All right, we're done with the sad. I'm done with
this.
We're going to move to the happier. Steam's winter sale.
Oh, my gosh. Woo! I forgot. I need to check that out. Because I'm just loaded with cash.
If you're flush with cash or even not flush with cash, there's some bargains to be had. There's some... I went flipping through the sale today just thinking, there's some old games I've been wanting to grab for the PC. I wonder if they're on for sale. And, every one of the ones I looked up, they are, in fact, for sale. You can get System Shock 2, arguably the best PC game of all time, for $2.49. Call of Cthulhu is $1.64, which many review. The Steam reviews say it's terrible and it crashes all the time. All you have to do is turn off anti-aliasing and it runs great. And also this cult classic called I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream is $1.49.
You know, I read the short story that is based on and it's awesome. It's Harlan Ellison.
Well, I have never participated in Steam sales until this year, the summer Steam sale. I bought all of the Serious Sams. They had a pack, like, for all of them. They remastered all of them. Just love Serious Sam. It's so ridiculous. It's just awesome. And I haven't even played half of them, so I'm starting to run down the road that several of my friends have, where they have more games than they will ever be able to play in their lifetime.
Well, you guys should make sure that one of those games that you do play is I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream, because you guys want to know what it's about? It's about AI that gains sentience and eliminates almost all of humanity and then keeps five people alive and just spends all of its time for eternity torturing them.
So that's kind of like that one part of Fallout, the lane
the expansion part.
No. It's part of the original story where you go and find your dad and he's trapped in a dog's body.
And
it's called
yeah,
like
that's right.
Fantasy Lane or something like that.
Hmm.
I read this really interesting article about this person who went to like someone who claims to be able to like read dreams and tell you exactly what it means about your life and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they described that sequence in the video game to see what they thought it meant. Hmm. And it was pretty good.
That's an odd expert to consult.
Yeah, well, because it's really dreamlike. It's in black and white, and then like
the problem is somebody made that. It wasn't like just conjured out of a subconscious. Like somebody like went through efforts to make it. It's we know where it came from.
Yeah, never mind, Alex. That's where I consult all my prognostications and Oracle. Well, I guess it's not future telling, but yeah, anything that delves into my psychology, I refer to Fallout 3 and other stuff.
So the I have no mouth and I must scream is that actually from a novel then?
It started as a short story. I don't know if they made it into a novel. I think that it's just a short story.
Because it looks like there's some information that I'm looking up here, and it looks like the publication date that it has for some of this information is March of 1967 or so.
Yeah, and it says it's a short story, so that's a collection including I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream. And so, yeah, and apparently Harlan Ellison, he contributed to the construction of the video game, even though he has said that he hates video games.
Of course.
That sounds very interesting.
It is.
It's kind of an old game, actually, too.
Yep. You know, I had a teacher who was always bagging on video games. He taught Applied Discrete Structures. Great class. If you got some extra time and you just want a fun class, you should try that one out. He allowed me to turn in homework in Minecraft as a YouTube video. So, yeah.
That's pretty rocking.
Yeah, but he hated video games, and I'm like, I can prove it to you. So he gave me an A on that plus some extra credit because, I challenged his beliefs, which teachers always love.
Yeah.
Yeah, they usually don't give you EC for that.
Yeah.
So, yes, it is based off of that.
Alex, is Talos and the Witness on sale?
I don't know. Also, I got Steam up. I can take a look right now.
I got that the last Steam sale, and there's a section that I just cannot get past. It's driving me nuts.
I really want to. I'm planning on
the Talos Principle is $10.
It's worth $40. Like that's.
It is actually $40 MSRP. Ted's not kidding. It is $40 MSRP. It is worth $40. It is currently priced at $10.
That is really nice.
But yeah, it's really well put together. If you like puzzle games, that one's a good one. And they don't just give it to you. You really got to work for those, which is nice. I hate it when you play like a puzzle game and then they give you like three things to do and then you just do those three things over and over again.
Yeah, have you ever played the Professor Layton video games?
Mm-mm.
Oh, they're amazing. Yeah, they're really fun. They give you all these fun riddles and everything that... it's all a derivation generally from the Moscow problems, the famous 358 Moscow problems where they give you math riddles and such. And but yeah, they do their own thing too. So I like that stuff.
So this is kind of like the 13th hour or 7th guest or miss.
A good description of Professor Layton and... Yeah, I think it's a pretty accurate description. It's like it's updated. It's not as like clunky as like Seventh Guest and Dr. Brain. It's a lot less clunky than that, but pretty much.
Aren't those games kind of like find these items in these rooms?
It's manipulating the environment.
Do that, but like this one, really, it's just like they keep giving you more little things, and then they tell the story as you go along. So I guess it's kind of like that, but like I don't know, I it's in a different class, I would say. But one of the neat things is you can like spray paint stuff on the wall and other players will see it.
Well, it's a puzzle game like Portal, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, that does sound interesting.
But you got like different, like you've got these energy barriers that you have to pass, and then you have like you have to power these little things that will like stop the energy barriers, and like there's things that go through and like will see you, and so you got to disable them, but you can only do it for a short amount of time, and so some of it's like you got to run real fast and like jump to this thing before the time's up, and some of it's just like, well, if I put this block in the way, then I can get past this thing. So it's, I think it's a good combination of different aspects, whereas like a lot of puzzle games just kind of give you like just a couple things and then they're like, eh, we're done figuring new things out.
Yeah. Well, and also in addition to that, The Witness, speaking of Myst, is made by the same people who did Myst.
Hmm.
And I saw it on IGN's top puzzle games of the year.
It looks like fun. Even looks like companion cube type of things. And
oh yeah, and there's little mini things too. There's like messages in the computers, and it'll have just like scrambled text that looks weird, and then if you look at it closely, you'll notice that it's that it's base 16, so you,
oh, really?
You convert it.
Wow,
yeah, you
gotta nice.
Convert that stuff to, huh. And it's like sends extra messages and there's stuff. So like it's really, really deep in some of those. And I don't know that they like will help you solve the puzzles, but it's just another layer to the puzzle solving if you really want to get. I got a notebook full of of Talos scripts that I've had to decode and stuff. I started doing it by hand because it's more fun to, you know, convert from 16 to 8, but might be a little bit of a, or to 16 to 10 and then look up the ASCII code. But
I like when they do that stuff, like Westworld, they had their site where they're hinting for a secret scene, and so you go to the Westworld site, there's just the page and like a bar to type in information, and it's an admin, and you have to type in a certain word, and then you get a scramble of letters and numbers. And turns out it's hexadecimal.
Interesting.
And then you have to convert that hexadecimal, like a chunk of that hexadecimal information into, I can't remember what else, but then it gives you the URL for a secret scene.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'll have to look that up. My favorite is on Super Sales, the Elder Scroll games.
Yeah.
Enjoy that. Actually, opening up my Steam also reminded me, Quantum Chess Beta has been delivered.
Hey.
Really?
Yes.
Or and actually, you can. Are you sure it's there?
Yeah, sure it's there.
But you checked, right?
I did check.
Well,
it may have not been there until you checked.
There and not there until he checked.
Yes.
Exactly.
But because you checked, it is there.
I
until
check.
You checked, it wasn't there.
Correct.
Maybe.
But it was at the same time.
And until you check on. If you didn't get into the Kickstarter until you check, it is and is not also for sale on Steam.
Problem of superposition.
Yes. I played against the computer. It was kind of fun.
How much is Morrowind? I might need to snag that too.
Just Morrowind?
50% off.
$7.49.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Morrowind's gotten cheap.
That was one of my favorite ones.
Well, you have to have the expansions as well.
Well, this might have. This is the game of the year edition.
Yeah, so it'll have all of it.
It has, yeah.
Yep.
So for that $7.49.
Yeah, there's 300 hours of your life right there.
Skyrim is still $40, basically, but it has all the add-ons.
Mm-hmm.
I was very happy that Oblivion has become backwards compatible from 360 or forward compatible. You can play it on the Xbox One now.
Oh, that's good.
So,
I know Oblivion was fun.
And this one was, you know, $10 for their Game of the Year edition. Actually, Elder Scrolls, what's that? Just to get into the game, nothing special about it, is $15. And where it's a pay then play for free, that's not terrible.
Oh, yeah, actually, your ESO. Okay.
Yep,
bill.
I like my ESO.
Are there add-ons?
Yes, there are.
Ugh.
You don't have to play the add-ons. I enjoy the add-ons. Because, yes, Thieves Guild and Dark Brotherhood are add-ons, but if you enjoy the game, it's worth supporting it.
Bill, I'm
You don't have to monthly pay, though.
Yeah, that is nice.
Yeah.
I don't know how
it's
much.
It's still not
money
fair that Bethesda and Sony can't get along.
I don't mind that.
I kind of do.
Because the only one I beat was Oblivion, and I beat it when I had a 360 before it died. But then I told you the sad story of Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
I finally got into it, and then... Yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Joe,
like,
at least it took you down early in the game.
I know.
Actually, the special edition, the new 4K version, is even on, you know, 25% off. It's for $30.
Oh, yeah.
So wait, what was that story?
Actually, it's cheaper to get the new version of Elder Scrolls than the old one.
Was that story that your 360 died right when you started playing Skyrim?
No, it got me through Oblivion, and then it just died in general. But then the PlayStation, being fully functional, just won't ever finish a Bethesda game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So my brother ran into this problem on the Xbox that he got his archery skill all the way to maxed out, right? He could kill anything with the
bow. Oh, yeah.
And then it didn't matter how long you held back the drawstring, it would just shoot it like 3 inches in front of you. So it just stopped working. And he had no other skills. So like, and everything was all leveled up to him. So it took, like, he just stopped playing at that point because if he gets a good weapon, it doesn't matter because he can't use it.
I know, but he's just like, hey, guys.
That's sucks.
I know.
Problematic for sure.
See, at least your 360 survived. My Oblivion killed two of my 360s.
Well, that's probably what killed it. It died shortly after finishing it.
Finished it.
Yeah, I finished it, but at least the main story.
I never finished
the main
story.
And all the Brotherhood and Thieves. I played all like the main guilds and stuff.
Oh.
Are there any rumblings of Elder Scrolls 6?
With them still expanding on ESO,
yeah.
I wouldn't expect it. Because, see, we just got Fallout, the new Fallout. I would say if there's another actual Elder Scroll game, it would be probably another 2 years.
Yeah, they're usually 6 years apart.
Wait, 6 years between the Elder Scrolls or six years between Elder Scrolls and Fallouts?
Between the Elder Scrolls.
Yeah. Well,
because Morrowind came out 2008. Oh, wait a second. No, that came 2006, I think. And then Oblivion.
No, Oblivion was 2007 six or something.
Oblivion came out 2006, and then Skyrim came out 2011, I believe. So that was 5 years.
Yeah.
And then Morrowind, I believe that came out 2001. So no, it's usually 5 years in between games.
Yep, because my 360 died in 2007, RIP. That's how I remember that.
So,
it was a sad day.
And has it been 5 years since ESO came out?
It's 2016 now. It's going a little long since it came out in 2011.
Well, not Skyrim. Elder Scrolls.
Oh, the Elder Scrolls
ESO.
Online?
Yeah.
Wasn't that like 14 or 15, I thought
it was, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people, like, how big the audience is. They can't have the major audience because I hate online games. And
I'm not the biggest fan, I'll admit, because I'm so-so with MMOs, but I enjoy ESO. Because you don't have to team up all the time. You can just, like, hop on, play around for a little bit.
Yeah. It's not the same Elder Scrolls experience.
You can kill lots and lots of people still.
Yeah.
Walk up, pickpocket them, or just stab them and then take their stuff anyways.
That's right.
Actually, because of the Dark Brotherhood, there's this, like, if you sneak up and you now have the button to just, like, slice their throat right there or pickpocket them. I'm like, kill? And I'll take your stuff anyways.
That's right. You have to go with the throat slash.
Yes.
Is there spurts of blood?
Maybe. Well, sometimes the knife goes through their chest.
Well, because
from their back.
They're now M-rated games. They used to be teen-rated games. And then...
No, Skyrim and... Morrowind are M games. It threw me off because I was going to hand off the game to somebody who's not older, and I was like, oh, this is... I might have to consult your parents first.
Oh, Morrowind? Yeah, I thought Morrowind was teen.
Yeah, it was teen. I had the teen edition.
Mine, says the, well, I don't know. Okay, maybe not Morrowind. No, Oblivion. I'm thinking.
Yeah, Oblivion.
Yeah, Oblivion was.
Well,
M.
What
yeah.
happened with Oblivion when it first came out? I was rated T14, but apparently they weren't totally transparent to the ESRB rating system. I think that's what they're called. And
I must have got a different, because I got the special edition when it came out.
No,
mine
it
says
is,
N on it.
I got it the day it came out, and it was rated T14, and they apparently were not totally transparent with the content to the people who rate it. And so after it came out, it was re-rated M. Hmm. And they just stuck with it because I don't think that...
I don't know how you got yours with a T. Mine was a day one release because I got the special edition day one release. And mine says M.
Mine says T.
Oh. Well, there you go. See, they totally were just like, here,
yeah,
we'll just
exactly.
rate whatever we
whatever.
Feel like.
Mine says right. X.
What?
I got the X-rated version of...
nice,
see,
Alex.
See, Alex got that one.
It's a little known.
All those add-ons.
Exactly, the special add-ons.
Yeah, yes. Some mod. Some guy at home going, this is going to be great. You can see everything.
So with all of our Mac users here, I decided I had to put
this. Well, it's been good night, guys. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
Get a real computer. All right, we're done. Next.
So Consumer Reports supports has given the approval for all the MacBook Pros previously and been like, you guys have done a good job. You say the battery's going to last 10 hours. Oh, look, it lasted 12. Tested out all the stuff. Well, the new one, they tested it out, and they do not give the approval on this one.
So what's their beef?
The Mac says the battery life is supposed to last 10 hours. Consumer Reports got four.
Now, back that up. Back that up for a sec. Macs are supposed to last 10 hours. I think laptops are supposed to last 10 hours, not just Macs.
Well, they should, but I'm happy when my laptop lasts, like, five. Well, okay, back in the day, it was happy with two. Now, I'm happier with longer.
but out of the box is different than I've had it for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, out of the box, you expect it to last. After a couple of years, you're like, well, I better buy a new battery or just keep it plugged in.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're idiots and just keep it plugged in all the time.
Yeah.
Instead of, like having it turned off on us. I mean, I'm speaking for everybody, but it looks like Bill's just plugged in right now, so...
Well, it definitely does help out with recording. It will not. My laptop won't make it through recording of the podcast.
I know it
very
dies
well.
In the last little bit.
I mean, that's the case with a lot of performance laptops. But there's one thing that Apple's always done with their laptops. They'll oftentimes have like some kind of Cadillac line laptop that is really high performance, and you pay a premium for it. It's got like very good battery life for like a workstation class laptop. But for the most part. Their mainstream MacBook Pros, they're kind of meant to be more of like a, they're meant to be like a Celica or some other kind of like mid-range sedan of laptops.
I thought the Pros were supposed to be their top line laptops.
No, Celica, not anymore. They stopped doing that in like about 2008.
Yeah.
Like, quote unquote MacBook Pro is supposed to be like basically the laptop that you buy that's not itty bitty. Like that's their go-to, the Air and like the MacBook with nothing at the end, just it's called MacBook. Those are their super portables. The Pros are supposed to be the ones that kind of compete directly with the upper end Windows laptops that like any other laptop manufacturer makes. Mm-hmm. And those ones usually do perform very well because they've got a lot of great tech under the hood. The new one, and it's interesting. Consumer Reports actually wrote a press release on this because it kind of needs attention from not just Apple, but just like consumers in general. The new MacBook has, when it first came out, the touch bar at the top, for listeners unfamiliar with this, you can go look on Apple's website. The 13 15 inch Pros have a bar that's across the top of the keyboard that has basically like just touch keys that you can use for different applications. If you open Photoshop, it has like different custom functions in there. Or if you open anything else, it just turns into function keys. So the physical F1 through F12 keys just went away, and that's what it was replaced by. And that's like the killer feature of Apple's new MacBook. And there isn't anything really impressive under the hood on this laptop. Like, it's got a really great actual screen besides the one that replaced the most boring keys on your keyboard. But that's the one selling point of this laptop. And it's actually a step backward from all the other laptops Apple made last year. And it's baffling that Apple is like, hey, this is a thing we put in a laptop. We decide to make a tiny screen and put it at the top of the keyboard that replaces keys you don't press anyway. Apple's sort of becoming HP early 2000s. So, like, HP's thing was just like having like conceptual crap all over their keyboard, and that was supposed to make them like more media savvy than actually having software that backs stuff up. Apple's sort of like trying to get into a game that was lost like 10 years ago.
Does it have a headphone jack?
Yeah. Actually, every Apple laptop has a headphone jack. Even my purse that I'm using actually has a headphone jack. Despite having one port, there's another port on the other side that has a headphone jack.
Yeah, I got to say that Apple that you're running these days is adorable.
you can cut bread with it, cheese, pretty much anything with it. And my laptop actually gets 5 hours battery life under heavy use, but it's also thin enough you could actually cut a foo with it. You could hurt somebody with my laptop because it is so skinny. It is a razor.
See, well, mine, on the other hand, is a giant boulder that, you know.
Yeah. You could still beat someone to death.
Yeah, I could totally beat.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could bludgeon a guy. Mine, you could just, like, cut a head off with. Like, there's no fans in it. There's not room for anything. They barely got the keyboard to work.
So what you're saying is you're the fighter and Bill is the cleric.
I thought I was the brute.
Because you've got blunt weapon, the clerics.
Oh.
The old school clerics could only use blunt weapons. Sorry.
I thought you were going to Fire Emblem with that. I was going to say, yeah, Bill's a war cleric. I'm the swordsman. That's what I got.
There you go.
Yeah, the new laptop, MacBook that Apple put out, there's no reason that... like, it was underwhelming to people who are usually Apple apologists, and it's kind of weird that this is like supposed to be like their big fancy new laptop that they produced, and it's like nobody asked for this. It's really weird. So I actually have the Consumer Report article press release that they put out that's sort of an open letter to Apple. I want to read the last paragraph from it. This is in regards to the very short battery life on the new MacBook Pro. Consumer Reports has shared diagnostic files pulled from all three computers with Apple in the hopes that this will help the company diagnose and fix any problem, again, in relation to battery life. We'll report back with any updates. So Consumer Reports actually like gave Apple the grace of saying, look, we usually really like your stuff. This time around, this ain't good. This is not a good laptop. Like, the thing that you want to push is like the big new feature of all laptops. It ain't worth it. This thing ain't working.
This is what happens when you get cancer and you go to witch doctors instead of actual doctors.
No.
Do you guys think that Apple can be considered a trendsetter anymore? Like, they're usually pioneering stuff like the iPod,
really.
The iPhone.
Like as the Apple apologist, like, they haven't made anything in like the last 8 years that anybody's copied.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're doing their little copying themselves.
Actually, that's not true. Since the iPad was the last thing that people copied. The iPad was the last thing that anybody copied. After that, like, nobody cared.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's a long shot. Does it coincide with Steve Jobs no longer being there with them?
It predates him. Steve Jobs had stuff in the pipeline before he kicked the bucket. So like they should have had at least a year or two of innovation to follow the guy. But I mean, like, other than the iPad, like, Apple didn't really like produce anything that anybody was jonesing to have.
I was reading an article, I think it was on Popular Science or something like that, that was going into how once upon a time there is a huge issue of copyright infringement and trademark infringement. Like, I think Steve Jobs freaked out about Microsoft's window aping his deal, which incidentally was aped from Xerox, you know, the overlapping windows and everything.
Well, yeah, because Xerox also was going towards the OSs, and they would probably have led the computer revolution. But they were like, no, no one's going to buy a computer. Paper is the future.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the death of Xerox.
I know.
But, yeah, recently it seems like they're not even paying lip service when, like, you have your Cortana, you have your, what are the other analogs to Cortana?
Iris for Google. Some people call it OK Google, but it's originally called Iris. And then
or Alexa with the new one. As my Google goes
off. You wake up your phone.
Actually, along with that, the next round of cell phone lawsuits are being thrown at each other. And usually where Apple is the one who starts it, Nokia, the oldest cell phone maker, Motorola probably is, but Nokia, one of the oldest ones, is suing Apple.
For what? With...
I'm sure there's plenty of reason to sue Apple.
Yeah.
Nokia is like a huge war chest of patents, which this story is kind of baffling to me because Microsoft bought Nokia, didn't they?
No, I think they were just working with them. I don't think they officially bought them. If they did, then I would have to look at that now.
But no, yeah, that's one of the reasons that both Motorola and Motorola was actually bought up by Google. Motorola and Nokia were such big players.
Motorola in, like, Mobile was. And then I think they got rid of it.
Yeah, but they at the point they were bought, like, it was like, we've got patents for sale by us. And Nokia was sort of like kind of almost the same deal, just because both those guys just had like a huge war chest of patents. Like Qualcomm had a bunch too. And that's like the only reason A1 cared about them, like the mid to late 2000s.
Yeah, and usually what happens with these is everyone ends up throwing patents back and forth at each other, and then the judge ends up getting a hand or hold of it all and going like, all right, these all are now open to anybody because you both have infringed, or everyone has infringed on everyone else.
This is a tricky thing now with the way that so many executions are, because with infringement, it's not the actual idea that's copyrighted. It's the execution of the idea.
So
I actually found I found an answer in the writer's article that's gonna be in the show notes. I'll actually pull from it. The Finnish company, referring to Nokia, sold its handset business to Microsoft Corp 2 years ago, leaving it with its telecom network equipment business and a bulging portfolio of mobile equipment patents. So even if they sold everything off to Microsoft, if the non-mobile division had a patent that like another company infringed on, they could still sue them for it.
So what you're saying is they're transitioning from making a product to patent troll.
Yeah.
Which I'm a little scared. So back in the 80s, there was this lady who sued McDonald's and won $1 million lawsuit. And everybody's like, that's so horrible and terrible. But when you actually look at the details of the lawsuit, it turns out she was probably, I mean, that was a good thing. And that's not an example of a frivolous lawsuit. That's an example of what should have happened.
Because the coffee was too hot?
But the coffee was almost boiling, and that was McDonald's. Like, you buy coffee, you get hot coffee, but you don't go back for more. That's free, right? So that saves McDonald's money. And, like, they had multiple complaints and everything like that. But the point is that we were sold this line that there's all these frivolous lawsuits and everybody's out there to sue everybody else, and they're all making $1 million off these poor giant corporations who have to pay out millions of dollars all the time. And it was a load of bull. Mm-hmm. And like the people who ended up getting stuck in the end of it was the people who don't own giant corporations and get wronged by them, get damaged by them, or, you know, like have an actual suit against
them. It is a concerning thing right now because lawsuits were intended to protect the vulnerable civilly, but now it's in the interest of corporations or any rich person really who has a lot of money and can just engage in a lawsuit which costs a lot of money for the defendants, regardless of the outcome, can take years in court and could ultimately, like, that's a recent thing now against newsmakers. Like, you can just sue the person who you don't like, and it doesn't matter if it's a bad lawsuit. It goes, you can just carry it on for years and it'll cost them a lot of money, and hopefully they'll be bankrupt, at least from the point of view of the richer person.
Yeah, it's scary to me because now we've got a lot of news stories. It's been happening more and more. We see these news stories about these copyright trolls who are going to, like, just buy up these copyrights
or create some random mundane idea.
Right. And they like sue companies that own fax machines because the fax machines violates their copyright and people will settle. But the thing is that we're hearing that, but I'm wondering if there's more to the story. I haven't found anything and I don't know that there is, but I feel like it feels like the same sort of thing where we're going to hear more and more about it. And we're like, it's going to be a big thing in the next couple of years. And they're going to make laws to like limit the amounts that you can do that. And the next thing we know, we find out that we've been lied to and screwed again.
Well, and there was some limitations put behind it and everything. But some of the smaller companies do survive. Like HTC got thrown tons of patents out from Motorola, Mobile, and Apple. They were a cell phone company. You know, they're doing better nowadays, but we're talking like 10-ish years ago when they were new, maybe more like 7. They were fairly new to the entire thing, and they almost failed because of it. And in the end, they came out just fine.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I just worry. These are the things that keep me up at night. Right. Like, how am I being lied to today type of thing. And I don't know. Maybe I'm completely wrong and I'm just being paranoid. And, you know, that this is, you know, just me being paranoid. I don't know.
What do you want more to be paranoid about? It's probably nothing that you aren't totally aware of already, but I was reading a book called Data and Goliath. Have you guys heard of that? Well, it's written by the guy who helped Glenn Greenwald. He was the one of the people whom Snowden gave his NSA documents to, and so he was one of the writer of this book was one of the people who pored over this information before it was released to the public. And so it goes into cybersecurity and everything like that. And I figured, since we're talking about the concerns of the little guy, this is one of those concerns. It's a book worth reading. It's
all right.
Data and the Goliath.
So there's still the good people out there that will... And actually, even look at with Google, you know, there's still the big company out there that does support the small or does support the innovation when... There's also these large companies that are absolutely against it.
Well, Google supports innovation, but this guy does not support Google for sure. He's totally against it because his concern is invasion of privacy, and Google has basically no regard for a person's privacy.
And that's in this country. In Britain, companies can't have that much privacy, but their government does.
The government has more privacy.
No, government gets to take your privacy.
Okay,
that's what it is. So, like in the States, you know, corporations can take your privacy and do whatever they want with it. In Britain, companies can't, but the government can.
Well, the government can take your privacy here too,
to a point. But there's more laws against our government taking our privacy away from us than companies taking our privacy away from us.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like the book goes into stuff like the three hop system with the NSA. Like even if you're not targeted for surveillance, someone who is targeted, like they observe those with whom the targeted person interact, and then observe the ones that interact with those people. And so it's like a 3-degree separation point. And so even if you're totally uninvolved in any suspected criminal activity, you can be under surveillance.
But you also have to be careful with that because too much information ends up getting reached out. Or too much information is now put into this giant pot and a lot of stuff would get looked over.
But yeah, and it's saved. So that's the thing. Even if there's nothing, and they can do a lot with that information actually, but even to the point where they can't do anything right now, they do save that information and they can retroactively do something when they develop the technology sufficient to enable them to that. And that's a more disturbing prospect.
It should just all be free. Everybody's personal information. Every company's personal information.
Yeah.
The commune system.
That's right.
It has to be an all or nothing, but I really think that that would be a better way. It's just if everything was open. Because... You know, I mean, we still have stalkers today, and that wouldn't really fix that, and they'd have access to more information, but the reverse would be true. Like, you'd have access to them, and you'd know that they were, like, taking undue interest in you, and you could, you know, take steps against it. But, like, also, like, you know, we always distrust our politicians because who have they been talking to behind closed doors and what happened between closed doors? Just open it up, then we know. Mm. But if some people get secrets and other people don't, that's where we have a problem. And we have that imbalance right now. Like, like we don't have any, we aren't allowed to have secrets from our government, but our government's allowed to have secrets from us.
Well, we certainly are going towards a future where, regardless of our own will, the will of the individual, we're sort of dovetailing to this openness. Well, not openness, that's the wrong way to put it, but this lack of privacy, really. And, I mean, when you get drones, they're gradually developing drones that are invisible to the human eye. Like, they're dust drones. They're the size of motes. And you can just drive them around and record stuff. We're going towards that sort of development. And, it's an interesting transition from a time when we're sort of the bridge back. We're connected to the point where there was some aspect of privacy, and we may live to see that point where this is very scant privacy indeed.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's kind of like, you know, like alcohol, right? If you're not allowed to drink until you're 21, when you're younger, you're going to go nuts. But if you're allowed to drink from day one, it wouldn't be that big of a deal for most people.
It is a big deal. In Germany,
let's give babies alcohol.
Alcoholism.
You don't think we have a huge problem here? People are going to be alcoholics. I think that the majority of people, though, would just... It's not going to be a big deal, so it's not the forbidden fruit. You know what I mean?
Well, there's the idea behind making everything legal or not. But we'll move on to our sponsor, because we should probably start moving towards the Star Wars.
Yeah.
But our sponsor, who is Carmike Pine Ridge 11, located at 4355 Yellowstone Avenue, Chubbuck, Idaho. They are doing their bucket trade-in. You trade in your bucket, you get a new bucket for next year, and a large soda.
Yeah, do it before January 1st?
Yes.
Okay.
Man, what's at the Pine Ridge 11? Maybe we should go tonight.
Star Wars.
I need to watch it still.
There's a lot of movies that came out, too.
Get your... Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed
out.
Came out. I'm going to go watch it.
I'm going to go watch it.
So I have heard that people are waiting for a good video game movie. And
they have to wait
they're
longer.
They're still waiting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We get to watch Michael Fassbender ruin his career for a paycheck.
He has not had a good year.
I know.
From day one on this podcast, I have voiced my opinion of movies based on video games, and I didn't even have to... I saw the trailer and knew this was going to be a train wreck.
No, so. And I admit that movies based on games in general have all sucked except for one.
There's Mario Brothers?
No.
Which is kind of a great movie. Like, it's so bad, it's really good.
Yeah. Clue.
That's based on a board game.
No, I don't know. I said...
It's not a video game. It's not a video game. Yeah, you said game. People mean video game.
I clarified, not video game, but games.
Yeah. Bill, you got to cool it before 2016 takes Alex, too.
I know.
Apparently.
Yeah, there's no one there to give him 15 minutes worth of CPR before the paramedics show up.
Oh,
yeah, if they saw me die, if they saw me dying, I'd play, like, yeah, it's not Carrie Fisher, and just leave me.
Yeah, look, he's got a Mac. Who cares? Take the Mac.
Hey, did you watch Warcraft? That's why I was excited for Assassin's Creed.
Okay, I did hear good things about Warcraft by people who like Warcraft.
No, it's not a good movie, but it's the same thing as...
Do you like Warcraft? Do you play Warcraft?
Yeah, I like Warcraft.
Do you play it still?
Not anymore.
What about you?
Occasionally, when I have a computer to play
it. So, no. Got
occasionally.
It.
No.
Yeah.
Occasionally, sometimes.
So...
You can ask me?
Do you currently play Warcraft?
I barely paid 15 minutes of that game.
Yeah.
See, so a couple people that I know that were still playing World of Warcraft really enjoyed that movie. Mm. Most people hated it.
I still know.
Yeah, that's the anecdote. You should go with most people. It's a bad movie.
Yeah, it is a really bad movie, but it brought me joy.
Do you, Ted? Did you ever play the original Warcraft games?
Yeah. Oh, love them.
Yeah, that's what so, more of the
like,
movies.
Did you ever find the? Did you ever find the? Like, when you install the game locally, you didn't do the CD install. You did the full install. There are WAV files on your hard drive.
Oh yes. Oh yes.
Okay. There's WAV files. You can replace them. So you can decide if grunt 001.wav is going to be something else.
Nice. Yeah. So I changed all of the ogres because they had two heads. This was on the second one to Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, that's pretty good too. I just everything farted on mine. On 8-year-old Alex, he did farts and burps for everything. Just an orchestra of farting and burping while these humans and orcs battled each other to death.
Oh man, I wish I knew that. I'd put all the recordings of world leaders.
Hey, you have even more now. So you could still go back, get that game.
Yeah, go for it.
File. I think it would play really, really fast. I think that was one of the games that suffered from the thing that like it was limited by the processing power. And when the processors got faster, it just ran really fast. So the game speed was based solely off the processor. I ran it on a computer that was too slow to run it. And so it'd take like 10 minutes to get like 100 wood. So I'd play these epic chess.
Yeah.
Like I'd be studying the map, deciding what I wanted to do next. And then I'd go up and eat dinner and I'd have enough gold to buy one warrior or whatever.
So there's no difference between turn-based strategy and real time for many years for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Assassin's Creed, it's going to be terrible, and I'm going to enjoy every terrible minute of
it.
It's going to be huge.
It's going to be huge.
So Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars.
We're going, right? Star Wars.
We're going to go in. Okay, we are not spoiling. We are rating.
It's so
our spoiler episode is going to be in 2 weeks, and we even if you kind of sort of think it's a spoiler, do not talk about it. Nothing, we will deal with this in 2 weeks.
Nothing is a spoiler. We already know what's going to happen, start to end. We know what's going to happen before we saw the movie.
Of it.
I can't talk about it then is what you're saying. So let me start. I'll say what I have to say about it that is spoiler free 100%.
Yes.
And then we'll go from there. So the first half of the movie was boring.
Spoilers!
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ted, take
spoilers,
it
back. It's a Star Wars movie that's boring.
The music, I got excited for about half a second. And then they like took a left turn on me and they never came back. And I hated the soundtrack till the last little bit. The soundtrack seemed to like make sense again.
It was like a Marvel movie. I have no memory of the score, which is weird for a Star Wars movie.
Like, it was jarring. Like a good soundtrack, you shouldn't really notice it. But when you hear it later, it should remind you of the movie. And this
I couldn't even tell you.
And this one, like, I was watching a scene and I'm like, why are they still playing music? Stop.
Yeah.
It really, really took me out of it. And I think it got better about halfway through. I heard something about one of the, like, the person who was doing the score got fired or something like that.
Yeah, they did.
There was some drama with that. But, like, halfway through, it seemed to get better. But it never really recovered from it. And so I give the last half was awesome, amazing. Everything I wanted in the Star Wars movie completely redeemed the first half. But, yeah, I think brings it down to, like, a B, maybe a B minus.
Yeah, I give it a B. Ted, we were saying too, we watched, did you see the new Godzilla?
No.
The 2014, because that's the same director, and so it's Gareth Edwards. So he made still his best movie. It's better than Rogue One or Godzilla's Monsters, which was a really low budget movie that he like did all the special effects for. And so I was excited when they're like, hey, give him a budget. But now two times in a row, he's like, thanks for $200 million. Boy, can I make that really boring for half the movie.
Yeah, he's very good at spending that money to make all right movies.
Yep.
Because, Rogue One wasn't offensively bad. It wasn't amazingly awesome. It was a B.
The first half was as good as the second half, then it would have been a solid A.
And that's where Godzilla has it, too, because when you finally see Godzilla, like, an hour and 20 minutes into a two-hour movie, it's pretty awesome. So it's just like this, too, is your hour and 30 minutes for your 40-minute battle. Yeah, Rogue One pays off.
It's a two-hour movie.
No, how long? It was more than 2 hours.
No, it is 2 hours start to end of credits.
The IMDb says,
it says, like,
it's 3 minutes shorter than The Force Awakens. That's what it says.
By the way, is a better movie.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. Well, Force Awakens is like 3 hours long.
So. No, it's only 2 hours and 16 minutes.
Force Awakens 140 something.
It's like,
or maybe it's a little.
No, that's what it says. I looked at IMDb. Oh, they're 3 minutes apart.
Wow.
Which brings to the next complaint, Bill, is that.
Okay, so Rogue One is you're 1 hour 33.
Mm-hmm.
And Force Awakens.
233?
Is 2 hours 16.
Oh, yeah. 3 minutes apart.
How yeah, it's only that? 3 minutes apart.
Oh.
So, yeah. Bill, that's the main issue, too, is because as much as The Force Awakens relied on, like, staples from the original series, they also introduced a lot of new characters with Poe and BB-8 mm-hmm. and Rey and Finn and Kylo Ren and General Hux and all these people. And guess what? Every single one of those people are way more memorable than anyone in Rogue One.
Because you can say their names.
Yeah, exactly. I know. And they're both, yeah, so that was my big beef with it, is that it, like we talked about Magnificent Seven, which I liked as a movie as well, yeah. But it was also guilty of like, I'm the Native American, I'm the Mexican, I'm the black companion, and this movie's like, I'm the Chinese guy, I'm the other one, and we have no personality or character development at all.
I did like the...
that could be a spoiler.
That's true.
But
oh, yeah.
I don't know about you guys, I kind of like the robot. I thought he was like...
I did. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, the robot was the best character.
Relief. They always got their comic relief.
Yeah.
He did good. He did really well as the comic relief.
He reminded me of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy robot.
Yeah.
The depressed robot.
Marvin.
I know.
So.
It
was interesting also. We knew Saw Gerrera was in it beforehand. That's why it's not a spoiler. And he's from Star Wars, Clone Wars. The animated series, so the part that happens between episode 2 and 3, and he's going to be in Star Wars Rebels, but it was really interesting how they brought him in and some of his history with it, I thought.
If you say so.
I know, I'm the one who watched
those. Say that's more of the spoiler thing with him. Can you say the CG character? Cause that's
Tarkin. You can say Tarkin.
He's
Everyone knows
trailer.
Tarkin is in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And no. Wasn't no.
Yeah.
Which CG character?
Tarkin.
Tarkin.
The creator.
I guess that's not
a
spoiler because, yeah, the actor's dead. He's been dead since the 90s.
He looked great until he talked.
And you looked at his eyes and they looked back at you and there's nothing in there.
I know.
That guy was in the original movies?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the CG version, of course.
Yeah, the actual.
That would be awesome.
Which one?
The Continuity. One that took. Oh, that was.
Oh,
going,
yeah, he looked the same.
He looked exactly the same.
Except for inside.
I was like,
except
I was
he was
kind
alive.
Of impressed by that. I was like, wow, that's cool. So he's actually dead?
Yes.
Oh, you're bummer. The second person because we went with Joe's brother's Frank, and he didn't notice that it was a CG character either. So maybe it's just
that's what we're saying. We're like,
I actually didn't notice that
I watched him, and at first I was like, it's weird. And then he starts talking, and then I was like, ah, he's a computer character. And then he's just ruined for me. He's dead to me the rest of the movie.
Do you think they asked his family if that was okay before they did that?
Probably.
I mean, that would be really, really upsetting to me. Like,
well, what if, well, back that up. What if they asked his family and they're like, oh, no, don't do that. And they're like, I mean, we've got the rights to his image from the first movies. What if we're doing what? Don't do that. Well we're going to do
also,
it. We just want to know how you feel about it. We're going to do it.
That's weird.
Well, so in episode 3, they recast him and people were kind of like, meh, whatever. So they wanted to do this, and even though Disney owned the rights to him from episode 4, most of those movies, or those the boots that he wore were too tight, so he hated wearing them, and he was actually a big actor for the time.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually wore slippers the entire time, so there's like minimal to almost no shots of him below the waist.
Yeah, that makes
sense. So they actually had to go to his Western movies to go get how his legs were shaped so they could CG that part in.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know.
That's a great way to not recast a guy.
I know, Alex. Wait, maybe we do that. So who is for or against CG Tarkin?
I was blissfully ignorant. Like, I didn't even notice. But
if they stuck a different guy in there, I would not have noticed. Here's the problem with that bargain they made. The only people who would notice they CG'd a guy in there are the Star Wars fans who'll be mad. If they recast him because the guy's dead, the only people who'd be mad are the Star Wars fans. So they could have saved a lot of money if they just recast the guy instead of CGing him in there.
Yeah, well
Alex, I'm not the diehard Star Wars fan. I just thought he looked fake. Like, I could just tell.
Did you remember? Did you know
but,
that he
but
was...
But did it bother dead? You? Did, I mean, like...
Not
it,
until after I watched it.
So it was jarring to you, even though you didn't know...
Yeah, like, he didn't look... Like, he looked off. Like, I could just tell. It wasn't seamless.
Well, Westworld-y,
it
huh?
It didn't look like a real person but compared to everyone
most
else.
Most people seem to have been convinced, so I guess the answer's that. I think in the next 10 years... CG Paul Walker's coming back.
Yeah.
Well, just Fast and Furious 13.
A little more time or a little better, you know, work on it.
That's right.
Because, I thought he looked good until he started talking, and then it kind of seemed off.
Because they're getting there. I mean, like, people always talk about with all the, people are making comparisons to, like, Andy Serkis's work as Caesar and stuff. But that's what I think is the difference is, like, it's not a person, so you still kind of accept in your mind, like, oh, this isn't really a talking ape, so obviously it's not a real animal, so you kind of accept it, but for me at least, like, a human, no. Like, you need to be without a doubt. Like, I need the director to say, hey, this wasn't a double, like, this was CG. So I feel like if there's even the division of, like, it kind of fooled me, I can tell, then no, it's too soon, don't do it.
But Smeagol looks really good, and yes, Caesar... Also, you know, yes, he doesn't look like a human, but his apeness still, you know, the way the hair falls and everything, it still looks amazing.
I know. Well, it looks really good, and so did he. Like, they did as best as they could, but that's still part of the issue, because it's just like Deadpool is that with Colossus. Okay. Yeah, that's a CG companion through the whole movie, but it's okay because he's a giant metal guy, so I can kind of make the disconnect. Yeah. But I thought in this movie, like, having a real person who was supposed to just be not superhuman, just a person, and just, like, as soon as my mind was like, you're not real, his character was... ruined for me. It was really a flaw for the movie.
Alex, did you notice?
I actually did not notice the dude's CG. Like, I figured that I saw some other CG in the movie that made me realize how they got CG people in this, but I did not notice.
How about that? Would you think of...
Here's the other thing. I also went to see the movie at like 10:30. And yeah. I actually fell asleep during one of the action sequences at the end.
Yeah.
Not because it was boring, but because I was so tired, I couldn't stay awake any longer.
It worked all day, yes. I would actually admit, I was slightly worried myself when I was like, I need to make sure to watch these at earlier times.
I deliberately avoided that show.
I know, me too. I knew I was going to fall asleep.
Yeah. I was fine.
We're old men.
I survived, but I was worried. So, Alex, what would you rate this?
I don't think it's fair Ted got to go first because he gave my review. He just ripped it off.
Yeah.
I had identically the same experience. I've talked to, like hardcore Star Wars fans about this movie, and they're all kind of baffled. I thought, yeah, the first part of the movie is completely forgettable. It was a throwaway sci-fi flick for the first half. The last half was a great war movie. I give it a B-. That's exactly my review of the movie. It's not the best movie in the entire series. It's definitely not the worst movie. It's it's kind of above average as far as movies go, just because the ending was actually very, very, very entertaining. Mm-hmm. But I mean, yeah, and like, so the movie isn't like very plot heavy either. So I mean, like, we've been kind of there may have been some indications that we'd be upset that we can't drop spoilers because there's like at most like two spoilers in this movie because not much happens.
Bill thinks they're all spoilers.
Yeah, like if anybody gave me like a complete play by play of like all the spoilers in this movie, I'd be like, go away, like that, because like all the spoilers are completely predictable and things that you will think will happen. There's nothing in here that can be spoiled for you that you can't imagine on your own.
Okay, I could slightly agree with that.
Yeah.
I still will, in the, the first podcast of actually next year, not the one at the end of the year, so the one that we will put out on the 6th of January, or 7th, or whenever you decide to download it, we'll have Matt Davenport on here, and he is a super Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
we'll spoil it, and he is, with him being super Star Wars fan, we'll see what he thinks about it, too.
I know. That will be...
Yeah, if Matt finds it spoiling this movie...
I liked it. It was fine, but yeah. It was,
I mean, I'm a huge Star Wars fan, but that's just because I'm fat.
It didn't make me hyped for the Han Solo movie.
Yeah, it makes me nervous about because the anthology movies.
Different director, though.
Is there actually... I thought that was just a joke. Like
no,
a
no, they're
joke.
Doing actually, it. Okay. It's gonna
it should be
out.
A joke.
So this is what it is. Next year, we will have episode 8.
May of 2018, they're switching to summer movies.
They were going to, and then they didn't.
What?
Because next year was supposed to be the... 30th? No, whatever. It was supposed to be the actual anniversary, but because of... the stuff work they still have to do on it, and they were afraid of it being too close to this one and overshadowing it, it got pushed to December again.
Yeah, we're almost at 40th anniversary.
Uh-huh.
Because, yeah,
if this one would have come out in the summer, it would have been released on the 40th anniversary.
Huh.
Because
yeah.
It's not.
Oh.
It's they might do something else. Then the following year we're gonna have the Han Solo movie.
Did they cast Jake Gyllenhaal as Han Solo?
I don't even remember who it was.
I know, it's some kid.
It's him as like younger, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
They needed to cast Harrison Ford as younger Han Solo.
There we go.
I know.
Just CG, don't
yep,
exactly.
Just like RDJ.
You just voice it. Yeah.
Right. The following year, we have episode 9. And then the following year...
Boba Fett?
No, but it's going to be a CG character.
Is it the Jar Jar Binks story?
I would totally watch that. There's so many people bag on Jar Jar, but I'm pretty sure he's a Sith Lord.
Yeah.
And I liked him before I realized that.
I know.
Speaking of Jar Jar, Sith Lord theory.
Yeah, Yoda.
Sorry, Alex, go ahead.
Have you guys watched episode 4.5?
Explain. What do you mean?
You haven't watched 4.5? Well, what you should do is just go to YouTube and look up Star Wars Holiday Special.
Because it's episode
4.5.
Did you guys end up watching that?
Yeah. So, for the listener, if you get a chance, go watch the movie that George Lucas himself has said. This is the guy that made episodes 1 through 3. Has said, if I had the time and the money, I would find every copy of the Star Wars Holiday Special and I'd destroy it. This is a movie that's so infamous that like it aired exactly once on national television. Someone put it in front of national television. B. Arthur is cast in this movie, and they never showed it again because it was so terrible.
Was used to torture war prisoners, wasn't it?
And then
Supreme Court went in and it was like, that's cruel and unusual.
No one deserves to watch it.
I don't know if you're joking, because I heard the same thing after you watched it, so it may actually be a thing that's just so offensive that like people just jump to Guantanamo Bay when they watch the movie. But, Jefferson Starship's in it, B. Arthur's in it, B. Arthur does a musical number in it, and it's got Harrison Ford in it. Harrison Ford, to this day, is very not happy at the movie. And, it's basically the story of, like, I'm going to spoil it for you. It's a story of a bunch of stormtroopers just wrecking a Wookiee house. That's this movie. It's stormtroopers, mostly one stormtrooper, just breaking stuff in a Wookiee's house.
I need to remake
that. Pretty magical.
It's Hard Times at Endor.
Yeah.
Also, another spoiler, it's the first appearance of Boba Fett.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's where Boba Fett came from.
Episode 4.
No, it's his first appearance.
Nope.
Or episode 5.
Yeah, episode 2, yeah.
Well, he is in that, too.
Yeah.
He was in episode 2.
So chronologically, that's his first appearance.
Chronologically in the Star Wars universe, but in the real world, it's 4.5.
Hey, Bill.
There's going to be a Yoda movie. Deal with it.
The Yoda movie.
Can't deal with that.
What's your grades of the prequels? I never ask you that.
Does it get above 5?
They used to definitely be like zeros. And then I watched Clone Wars. And they got a little better because there was this filler. I didn't dislike them as much. And Jar Jar, I wasn't as annoyed with as much. Because I'm like, okay, you're this character that you could have maybe been a Sith Lord that was the failed attempt or whatever the other things behind it. I don't know. I think episode 1 is probably the best of them.
Well, no, because I think two's the worst. Like, if I'd give him, it'd probably be like a D plus for number two, but then like one would be like a C plus, and then three would probably be C plus B minus because it was a little more mature. But
yeah, because on like, one,
see, I'm actually more annoyed at the third one.
Well, three, like the way the ending, it goes fully cheesy, but like up until they totally. Well, I guess that does bring down the movie a lot. I was going to say, up until he actually has his Darth Vader moment, it's an okay movie.
Yeah, but one has the interesting, aside from the Jar Jar Binks stuff, it has Liam Neeson, probably the best actor in that entire prequel trilogy.
Yeah.
And then, more than
Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor. More than him?
Yeah. I thought Qui-Gon was better. Yeah, that's the best lightsaber fight. Yeah,
it has the best lights, and also the Senate stuff. Like a lot of people found it boring, but I thought it was interesting seeing the behind the scenes machinations.
Yeah, and I think that was good. And the Yoda fight. I loved seeing Yoda fighting.
That was in episode two.
But that was
like the best. That was two. Yeah, it was after the clones came out. But yeah,
that's three then.
No, it's number two. It was Attack of the Clones.
Him and Dooku.
Yeah, he's fighting Dooku before he got away.
Yeah, and he just turns into this little ball of lightsaber. It was the best.
And even two, like, I just have to watch it because I think what overpowers that is just the romance. It's so bad. It's really so bad.
It's the Anakin whininess is what
I'm saying.
I killed them all.
Yeah.
Adults, the children, I'm a monster, Padme. Do you love me still?
No, because actually they all do have their
They're laying in the grass together.
Points.
Yeah, because the end had a fun battle. Like, I agree with you, Ted. I like the Yoda and all the big battle that led up to that when Yoda's all like, I got the clones! But most of it was like Obi-Wan investigating the clone place was boring and then Anakin and them having the romance. Like, wasn't there the cool chase at the beginning where, like, the assassin darts him? That was fun.
That was actually really good.
Yeah.
The CG was kind of annoying.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the pod races, though.
The pod races is good, I think, the first one.
That was exciting.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, the whole Obi-Wan exploring the clones kind of reminded me of Lady in the Water, and I really liked that movie, so.
Yeah, it was... Well, and it's, I don't know, it's weird, because the only reason I bring that up, Bill, is because I'm not the diehard Star Wars fan. I watch them because I like sci-fi, and I loved Star Wars as a child, but somehow it didn't, like, go as an adult, which I don't know why, because that seems like that's what happened with everybody. Everyone's like, yeah, 30 years later, we get, like, our great one, and I'm like, eh. But that's what people with, like, Rogue One, they'd say it's the A-plus movie, like, as good as Empire Strikes Back, and probably the same fans would say, oh, like, episode one is an F, and so I don't get, like, that grading where they're, like, A-plus to, like, F-minus, and I'm like, it's a B to a C-plus. Like, they're not, I don't get that.
I think the hardest thing is, hold on,
back it up. Who's been saying that that Rogue One is as good as Empire?
What?
Yeah. Seriously.
Who's been saying that Rogue One has been as good as Empire?
Didn't Kevin Smith say that? I saw, like, the early reviews when it first came out. Like, everything that I was reading, that's what they were saying, is there was overwhelmingly things too. It made me feel like it was better than Force Awakens, because pretty much everything I was reading was, like, the perfect Star Wars movie. And like I said, but that's what I mean, though, is that that's, like, Thursday reviews. So those are the people who are like, yeah, I will watch this at midnight. And so that's why I view it as, like, the most hardened of Star Wars fans. And then it feels like it started to kind of dip now.
Well, but they're rated the same on IMDb.
I know, and I don't understand that at all, because it's not a contest.
What's the quantity of ratings?
Okay, so I'll admit, there's probably that. Force Awakens has 611,805
raiders.
Versus where'd it go? 671.
Yeah. Why is there not
many
people
there
on there?
No, there's 128,691.
Oh, so it's catching up.
Yeah, it's
a little. It'll probably go lower. I bet that'll be around an 8.0, maybe an 8.1.
Yeah, I feel like it's more people. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it digests. Because it's not a bad movie. Like, I'll buy it.
Because
I like it and stuff. But that's my main thing. That's what I... Maybe when Matt's here, that's what I want to say. I'll say, what's so much better? Because it's like everybody meets in the middle. They're like, yeah, the original trilogy is good. But I'm like, what's so much better about these newer movies? And what was so awful and such a betrayal about the prequels?
I'll tell you one of those things is like the expectations, because it's such a great premise. It is the fall of The Chosen One, the Darth Vader.
They botched that.
Yeah, they did.
Like, that would have been so much better. That, like, it made no sense him going from where he was to
being
like,
evil.
All the Jedi.
I know. It's like, I don't know if I want to do this. I guess I'll join. Kill children. All right. I'm on that right now.
And again, that's why I really enjoyed the Clone Wars cartoon, because it really saw this evolution of Anakin. That's what, you know, so instead of these little snippets of, you know, could have been better explained stories, now I have so much more story. I have years of extra story to start filling this in. I'm like, okay, this makes a lot more sense.
And it makes it, and that could be it too. Cause I feel like, cause all of them, cause I mean, they're all, it's for the genre. Cause that's what I thought too, as we talked about, like, Force Awakens has tons of plot holes, and I still thought all the stuff with, like, Rey, that didn't make any sense. That's just as dramatic. She's like, I'm suddenly awesome for no reason at all. Yeah. So, like, all the movies, and once we get into Rogue One, it has plot holes galore, and so I'm still kind of like... And again, too, even as a child, it's like, I didn't watch Star Wars for its deep storytelling either.
Yeah. And also, you were saying, like, okay, yes, the prequels are not my favorite, but I still do have... The only Star Wars poster is from Episode 1 in the podcast.
I know, that's why I was wondering. I never asked you that.
Because so, that fight scene is just awesome.
No, that really is a really well choreographed fight scene with him having the duel.
Well, and so I don't know. That was mine. Because I watched all the prequels as they were coming out, so that's why I thought as a child. And maybe it did kind of make me, like, that might have been the disconnect. So maybe the prequels did kind of kill my buzz, and that's why I don't, like, love it as an adult. Because I watched them all on video. I watched them when they were re-released with the original ones in theaters as a child. Then I watched all the prequels as they were released in theaters. And then I just kind of was like, eh.
Honestly, but, though, I think they could have fixed that whole Darth Vader, like, him becoming Darth Vader. Like, they could have fixed that whole thing. And people still would have bagged on the original because it just couldn't live up to their childhood reminiscence of... It's like going back and watching like old G.I. Joe episodes. They suck.
Yeah.
MacGyver. No, that oh my God, do not watch the old MacGyvers.
Have you seen the new ones?
I haven't watched the new ones.
I was going to check them out, but I haven't checked.
Yeah, I haven't seen them. But I watched a couple G.I. Joe and MacGyver when I was in Russia. I had to sit real close because the original English audio was still there. But like... they're terrible. The plots are just horrible. The effects were garbage. And, I mean, it was just terrible, but I loved it as a kid. Mm-hmm. And I think like people try to, they want it. It's not new. And it's kind of the same reason that people didn't like the Matrix movies. It's too second, third, in my opinion. They didn't like they have reasons to bag on them because the Matrix, like, when he pops out of that little tube and like starts pulling the pipes out of him, you're like, what the crap just happened? And like, your mind is literally blown. Well, not literally, but literally.
You can use literally in this context.
Literally.
Yeah.
Figuratively now. But yeah, like your mind is just like, you had just, I remember feeling like I physically left my body at that part in the Matrix, right? And they can't do that again. They just can't. So... You know, like,
so that's why,
the
like,
expectations are so high,
you know,
that they're never going to live up to that standard.
Ted, there is a Star Wars movie that had impossibly high expectations that got great reception, and that's called The Force Awakens. It had to live up to so much.
Yeah, that is true. And and to be fair with that one, too, that's what we talked about, is I think, because it's The New Hope Awakens. And so they played it a lot safer than the prequels, I think, because of that. That's why I'm curious to see where Episode 8 goes when it kind of becomes its own. So,
well, we'll see.
So it'll be, I don't know, but it's worth watching. Disney's doing a good job with Star Wars.
Well, we probably should wrap things up because we're over.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll go with some famous last words. Alex.
I'll jump in with like a final follow-up on Carrie Fisher. Her brother just came back and said that she's stabilized. So,
Oh, good. There you go.
He says, pray for her. I'm going to go back to mine of May the Force be with Carrie Fisher.
Yeah. That's right. I agree. May the Force be with Carrie Fisher.
Yeah. What else can you say? You're not going to have something glib. So, yeah. Good luck to her, and hopefully things go well.
I'm going to go out and watch Star Wars. So, eventually I'll come back and we'll talk about it. And I hope you guys go out and watch it too.
Nothing. All right. Then, yes, no, you just can't have to go. You know, hope Carrie Fisher gets better. May the Force be with her.